Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet, toes, come on. Ugh. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Hey, welcome back. We're here on a Friday afternoon. And calls coming in a moment. More guests to come as we continue here. And let's tell you that Pat Smith will join us shortly. And Benjamin Hockman from the St. Louis Dispatch. Cody is up next. Hello, Cody.
Paul, how you doing, sir?
Cody, we're doing great.
Wonderful. I'm glad to hear that. I just was calling out of Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm a native Texan living in SEC country, which I'm not going to complain about. I love this area of the country, great football conference. But I had a question about Isaiah Nair. He was down to the Longhorns, and he was down to the Volunteers, and he chose Texas. Now, a lot of my constituents and a lot of my friends tell me that he made a bad decision by choosing the Longhorns, and I disagree with that because I look at Sarkisian's offense and just think it's going to be a really productive offense and a good place for him. So my question is, do you agree with that as far as a successful year for Isaiah Nair choosing the Longhorns over the likes of a Tennessee? And then which team would have benefited greatly or more, I guess, which team would have benefited more with Isaiah Nair on that roster?
Yeah. Listen, I don't know what's best for somebody, but I do know that anybody that chooses Texas is making a good decision because it has suddenly become a really hot place to go. And when Arch Manning made that decision 6 weeks ago, whenever it was, it really opened the door for a lot of other young players to make similar decisions. You know, Sark has not completed the system yet. I mean, the jury remains undecided on him. But I think that place has such tradition and history, and it's such a great place to live. And I know that sounds like blasphemy coming from a Tennessee native, but I try to be objective. I had 4 great years in Knoxville, Tennessee, but I know a lot of people who have had 4 equally great years in Austin, Texas. So I don't think that's a bad decision at all. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Matt, who is in San Antonio.
How you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum, Mr. Professor?
What's going on, Matt?
I want to talk to you. Once I go for some football and pull it in, I'm going on vacation for, I think, no one knows. Me and my family are.
Well, tell us about your vacation first. I don't want to miss that.
Okay, we're going to Colorado. I don't know where Park Corral, but we're going there. I got to get out of this house, Paul. I'm going crazy.
Well, let me say this. I've been to Colorado quite a few times, and it is a spectacularly beautiful state, depending on where you are.
Thank you. But I got some questions for you about football. I'll talk about A&M in a minute.
Yeah.
What one place have you been to out of the SEC when it comes to your game?
So you're saying out of the SEC, Matt?
Yeah, out of the SEC. Which other game you've been to that's not in the SEC? Has it been the Big Ten?
I've been fortunate having gone to a lot of games over my career. I've been to most, not everyone, but I've been to Notre Dame a couple of times. I've been to Nebraska, Oklahoma, mm-hmm. Southern Cal. I've been to Washington State, UW for games. Penn State many times. So I've seen a lot of venues. I haven't seen everyone. I've never been to a game at Ohio State or Michigan. Okay. So those are probably the two most famous places I've never been.
Okay, there's 2 more questions I got for you. I'll cover up football here. Paul, what kind of advice you can give me if I ever do your kind of job, how to be less biased? And I guess the last one is, I heard a rumor from this guy, I'll take a VH rant, he's talking about A&M in Texas. He said, I don't believe this. I want your thoughts on it. Tell me you think it's true. He said Bear Bryant, when he's at A&M, got no fight with the Texas players, including him, because one of the Texas players tripped John David Kerr right in front of him. They didn't like that. I don't know if I can believe that, Paul.
I've never heard that, Matt. The guy we had on here yesterday, Gene Stallings, played for Coach Bryant. He played on his first team at Texas A&M. Hey, thanks for the call. AC is up next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Mr. Feinbaum, what was his last question? Something about bias? Because I want to understand it.
Yeah, I think he was asking how to be less biased. That's almost impossible to answer to a fan.
Oh, absolutely. You cannot. I mean, fans are the worst of the worst. Mr. Feinbaum, I don't know if I've told you before. I hate the fans. I hate their guts. I hate all of them. They make me sick. They're fat Americans. This is exactly who they are. You know, you had a guy named Mr. Slim Jim. Well, Slim, I'm going to call him Mr. Slim Jim. He predicted Tennessee Volunteers to go 11-1. My brother, let me tell you something. Your Tennessee Volunteers, they're going to volunteer themselves to go 8-4. And they are not losing to LSU. How the hell this guy says they're going to have one loss against LSU? Are you out of your mind? Come up with something better, kid. And Matt in San Antonio, he said, A&M, Texas A&M, they're going 11-1. So who are they losing again? Did he tell you about this?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know, AC, but you seem rather animated about that subject.
Yeah, he said 11-1, more like they're going to go 8-4 as well. I think he's saying that one loss is going to be against Alabama. That's my understanding. Because I'm trying to get a clear picture. Where is this team getting their first loss? I think he doesn't have confidence with Jimbo Fisher. Because Mr. Feinbaum, let's face it, Jimbo Fisher knows a thing or two about shoplifting. Crab legs, anyone? I'll see you Monday, God willing. Background cheerleaders, I hope you are doing well. I love you too. Mr. Feinbaum.
Thank you, AC.
Wow.
After a call like that, you just want to shut it down, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you want to go. Trey is up next. Hey, Trey.
Oh, Paul, can you please put some closed caption at the bottom of the screen or something so we can understand what that man is saying?
Yeah.
I think that AC stands for always clowning. Matter of fact, who is his team anyway, Paul? Who is he cheering for? Do you know?
I think Rutgers.
Rutgers, that's what I was thought. Okay, well, that's is it all, Paul. Hey, Paul, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Yesterday, well, first I want to say something about I-Man. I can picture I-Man coming across the border in one of his psychedelic painted hippie vans with smoke coming out of it like in Cheech and Chong. Could you picture that?
As much as I-Man talks and the fact that he never takes a break, I'm surprised he just didn't turn himself in. Hey, I got some weed in my boots here
you broke away to Brian Harsin and you broke away to Nick Saban. I'm curious, when that happens, do you and the guys in the booth, do y'all go back in the green room and sip on some whiskey and eat some popcorn and put your feet up? Or what do y'all do when y'all go to an interview like that, Paul?
Yeah, we do a lot of drinking during the breaks.
Not many bottles.
Hey, and
Randy's a frequent flyer, so he gets the miniatures. I mean, we don't bring in like a chug of JD, but yeah, we got the miniature. What do you want? Do you want something? What, you want bourbon?
I take Crown, but you know, I think Larry,
yeah,
man, he might be able
yeah,
to help
we,
y'all
we,
out.
We got some Crown for you. Hold on just a second there. Let me fix your Crown. We'll take a short break. We're coming right back after this. Pat Smith will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And welcome back. It's great to have all of you here, and we're really excited to welcome back to our show Pat Smith. Many who go back in time know the history of Pat Smith. We worked together for more than 20 years. He really created what became the Feinbaum Network, which ultimately led to what we were doing here, and he helped get this show launched as well at ESPN. He now hosts a program in Birmingham, Three Man Front, as well as helps to run the programming at WJOX. And Pat, great to have you on, and what's happening in Birmingham?
Oh, it's just a nice, balmy 95 down here. Don't you miss those days here in Birmingham?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's really a whole lot cooler where I am, but I do miss those days, yes. Pat, I couldn't help but think of you the other day because you were really included in something that, and I'll leave myself out of it because I do too much talking, but John Talty's book, which comes out next Tuesday, had an excerpt released, I think it was by the New York Post, which talked about a story that involved Nick Saban being wooed by ESPN. And I want to let you tell the story because you played a fairly big role in this because you were actually driving the car that picked up Nick Khan, who's now the head of the WWE, who until then was the top sports broadcasting agent in the country at CAA, and took Nick Khan to meet with Saban and Jimmy Sexton.
That is correct. You know, it's funny because so many of these things, you know, that you and I went through so many years ago, we never really thought that they would see the light of day. But then when books start being written and then, of course, talk shows get their hands on it, stuff like that. So I'm sitting in my house and I get a call from my co-host, Landrum Roberts. And, of course, I had told Landrum the story a couple years ago. And, of course, we've never talked about it on the radio, but then when it came out, that excerpt that from John Talty's book about Nick Khan, he called me and he said, "Hey, it's out." And I'm like, "What are you talking about? You know, I've told you a lot of stuff from the good old days. What are you talking about?" And then he told me, and I said, "Are you kidding me? That is unbelievable." But then the next day on the radio show, I come on Jocks, and I was like, I felt so relieved, Paul, because I've been keeping this secret for so long that you and I were in the car with Nick Khan going to Tuscaloosa, potentially with the GOAT never coaching again at Alabama. I felt like I was going to be responsible for it because I took Nick Khan in my UConn down to Tuscaloosa as we picked him up at the airport. So, yeah, it did happen, and I was happy to finally tell the story exactly what happened because you and I both were getting our situation taken care of there at ESPN, and Nick was representing us, and he was coming to town, and then you and I went to see him, and I picked him up. The next thing I know, we're dropping him off in Tuscaloosa. And then when he told us in the vehicle what was going on, I was like, wow, this is going to be something unbelievable for college football. And, of course, Nick decided to stay put. So I personally was happy, Paul. That was one of those things that was always heavy on my chest because I was worried that I was going to blurt it out to somebody at a party one night, and then it was going to be national headlines. So I'm glad that John Talty finally got it in a book.
Yeah, and somebody asked me when that came out, he said, didn't you do a book right after that? Of course, you played a big role in that as well. I said, yeah, I did a book. And they said, well, how come you didn't report that? I said, because Nick Kahn was my agent. I mean, and he asked me to and Pat to be involved. So it's not the kind of thing you put in a book when the guy represented you until he left for WWE. And it was interesting, and I don't think it's a big deal now because Nick Khan's no longer an agent, and Nick Saban obviously didn't go to ESPN. But the thing I remember the most about that ride down is that Nick Kahn is this Beverly Hills super agent that barely knows who Nick Saban is.
You're right. And because you and I, we were kind of peppering him with questions, and then we were kind of giving him some extra background about Nick Saban, because if people don't know a lot about Nick Kahn, Nick, obviously, I think he went to UNLV, if I'm right on that, Paul.
Yeah.
He's a Vegas guy, West Coast guy. And so he represented a lot of the big heavy hitters at ESPN. And so, yeah, he knew who Nick Saban was, but the personality, what was the driving force behind the process and what he potentially wanted to do in the future, that was kind of the background that we were giving him before he went down there to have this infamous meeting.
Yeah, and I mean, Pat, I think I joked at the time that Nick Kahn couldn't have named you three schools in the SEC on the way down. It turned out that Nick Kahn later became very well versed in the SEC, considering he was the agent representing the SEC in its new agreement that has yet to go into effect on the football side with ESPN, the mega deal that came out about 2 years ago. But at the time, he was this guy who was really on his way up. He had not quite taken off. And, I mean, he was literally asking you, and I was listening to the conversation and chiming in, okay, tell me about Saban. What's his wife like?
Yeah.
He was going to have dinner that night with Jimmy Sexton and Nick and Terry Saban. And, it was just, he was – I mean, it's still comical to think that somebody, even in 2013?
14.
Whatever it was getting a cheat session on Nick Saban. Like, okay, tell me who he is. What's he all about? How many national championships has he won? What kind of guy is he? What should I say? What shouldn't I say?
Yeah, and here's the other thing, Paul, and I don't even know if you remember this part of the story, and I did tell this story on Jocks the other day when John Talty was on as we were talking about his book, is that I had Cecil Hurt call me because somehow somebody saw me and you in Tuscaloosa, and they didn't know.
By the way, I know who it was, so I'll tell you in a minute.
Okay, so Cecil Hurt calls me, and Cecil Hurt says that there are media down here in Tuscaloosa that is about to report that you are going to report, talking about me, Pat Smith, not Paul Feinbaum, but Pat Smith is going to report that Nick Saban is retiring and he's going to work for ESPN. And, of course, my jaw hit the ground because, first off, I had no idea that anybody saw us in Tuscaloosa. But second of all, if Cecil Hurt had that information, I knew that, obviously, he had a very good source. And so I was scared to death. I'm like going, I haven't even got my first paycheck at ESPN, and I'm about to be fired because the biggest story in college football is about to be attributed to me, and I had nothing to do with it.
You were driving the bus.
Standard here. Yeah, exactly. I'm just, okay, sure, let's go to Tuscaloosa. So then I called the person that Cecil had told me had the information, and I called him, and I asked him politely if he could please refrain from doing that, because first off, that's not anything that I potentially would report. That's not something that I don't even know if Nick Saban is contemplating doing. I didn't tell him while we were down there, Paul, but enough people saw us and enough people put two and two together. So I'm so happy that it didn't come out then, and it took about 7 or 8 years before it came out now.
Well, I think the blabbermouth, Pat, was Kevin Steele, who was with Jimmy Sexton that day in the football complex. He had just come back to Alabama. And because I remember he at some point not long after that, he said, well, had the How did your ride go with Nick Kahn? I know he was coming down here to see the boss. What was even more amazing is the deal with ESPN that we had not even been announced yet.
It had been done,
but because of a million things that kept prolonging or delaying it. So it's just remarkable. And I guess in full disclosure, it never really felt like this meeting took place after he won the national championship against Notre Dame. The next meeting took place at the Rose Bowl that John Wildhack did confirm. He's now the Syracuse athletic director. That Saban then met again with Nick Kahn and ESPN. But he was out there working for ESPN. And the part of the story, can't remember if this is in, I know it's not in the book because I asked, I didn't want to be included in the book. But that Saban meeting with Nick Kahn and John Wildhack in a restaurant at the hotel at the Rose Bowl was not a big deal considering Saban was there working for ESPN.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, it was one of those amazing situations because, you know, I'm happy because, you know, we're driving down to Tuscaloosa and he's telling us about our situation. We're excited about the future, about the show going to the SEC Network, ESPN. You know, we're fired up about that. And then you're sitting there thinking about what the potential could be because, you know, we were both on the air, instrumental on the day that Nick Saban was hired. I mean, you made the prediction, the bold prediction, when it became official that he was being hired. You said that Alabama will win a national championship within the first 3 years of him being down at the Capstone, and lo and behold, he absolutely made that happen. So it was just really surreal to think about the excitement of us having this next chapter of the show, and then the potential of Nick Saban being our teammate at ESPN as opposed to talking about him and the University of Alabama and the SEC. It was unbelievable to think of what all potentially could have happened.
You just reminded me of something, and I want to take a break, because the fact that Nick Saban was hired was fascinating, but it almost didn't happen. And the program that we were doing at the time got blamed for it, and in fact, a guest of ours 2 days ago joked with me in Washington, D.C. that if we hadn't blown the deal, he would still be coaching at Auburn. Well, I want you to tell that story in a minute, how the Feinbaum show got blamed for Alabama missing on one of the great coaches that they ever were going to hire, and it turned out by missing on it made way for 6 national championships. We'll come back with Pat Smith after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back on a Friday afternoon, and we were talking to Pat Smith. Of course, he co-hosts the Three-Man Front in Birmingham on WJYX. He also was the creator of the Feinbaum show and network. And we're talking about this period. We just talked about the period when Nick Saban had already arrived and how he had conversations with Nick Kahn and ultimately with ESPN about leaving coaching to go in. But I think it's interesting, Pat, as we welcome you back here, how it almost never happened. So I take the audience back to December of 2006. Alabama makes a coaching change, finally gets rid of Mike Shula. And it goes after Saban. And Saban says no. They turn to Steve Spurrier. He says no. and they decide to hire Rich Rodriguez, and the deal is done. Rodriguez is about to be introduced on a Friday, and then Thursday, and my memory is very fuzzy on this, somebody called in to our show on that Thursday night and started ripping Rita Rodriguez, Rodriguez's wife. She apparently heard about it and somehow didn't and thought I was the one who was ripping her. And I'll leave the rest of the story to you, because the next day, after agreeing in principle to take the job, the press conference had already been scheduled, he backed out.
That's correct. Yeah, you can imagine. Now, again, people, this might be difficult for people to realize, but before Nick Saban got there, Alabama, I think, had four losing seasons, or had failed to win six or seven ball games this season within a 10-year period. It was a lot of up and down. Fans were wringing their hands every year. Auburn was rolling pretty well. And Rich Rodriguez had West Virginia. I think they'd won 3 years in a row. They'd won 11 ball games. They were knocking on the door, potentially playing maybe for a national championship. He had really good football teams. And so Rich Rodriguez's name comes up. But just like in the old days, and I know a lot of new listeners to the show may not have a hard time comprehending this, but back in the really old days, the prerequisite of you potentially becoming an Alabama football coach is that you had to either play for Bear Bryant or you had gone to Alabama. And so that knocked out a lot of potential really good coaches. And so when Rich Rodriguez was going to be the one that was going to be tapped to be the new head coach, the fans came out of the woodwork. And, of course, this was before Twitter. This was before Facebook. This was before social media really took off. But, of course, we still had the fax machine. You still had message boards. And all of a sudden, people started calling on our show that afternoon, and they started talking about pictures that people were posting on the Internet of Rich Rodriguez's wife, which was obviously absurd. And these pictures were, I mean, just regular rated G pictures. I didn't mean to sound like it was something that was untoward. These were just regular snapshots of her. And so all of a sudden, it was the callers. It wasn't you. It wasn't Neil Vickers in the newsroom. It wasn't me. It wasn't those people that was making fun of Rich Rodriguez or the wife. It was just the callers, because that was the forum that we currently had. And the groundswell of support to find anybody else in America to be the head coach besides Rich Rodriguez, it was unbelievable. It was something that I had never seen on the show before. And so whether that was the real reason or not,
Pat, I think what happened, though, was but when it came out, though, I think the Birmingham News reported, this is a long time ago, that he was going to be the coach. Typically, Alabama fans who were against him on Thursday coalesced around him on Friday. It was hours away from him being. I remember being on with Carly the next morning, and we were debating whether he was a good hire or not. And by then, everybody had already changed their mind. He's a good hire because he's going to Alabama. And at 2 o'clock that afternoon, about 2 minutes before we came on the air, it came out that he had backed out. And it was like, nobody wants this job. So we started off, I mean, we were in shock. So what happened was somebody on a mobile station opened the show ripping us, saying we
were the cause.
Cost Alabama Rich Rodriguez, and it mushroomed. And you know, typical Bama fan, you know, they hear something, they just believe it. It became a mushroom cloud, and we spent the entire 4 hours that day getting blamed for Rich Rodriguez not taking the job, because I called Rich Rodriguez's wife whatever, even though I never said anything. That became the story for a long time until Nick Saban started winning national championships and took the job. And then we became the show that saved Alabama from destruction.
you're right. And it's interesting because, you know, up until that time, you know, we'd have Rich Rodriguez on occasion on the program. And then, you know, it was 3 or 4 years later before I even got the nerve to brush off my Rolodex and call him, because I really thought, and he could not have been nicer, just a really great individual. It didn't seem like, you know, he was blaming us for potentially whatever did or did not happen. And it's interesting, Paul, because, you know, he is now the head football coach at Jacksonville State,
right,
which is about an hour and 15 minutes east of Birmingham. And there was a reporter that actually asked him about that situation and saying, well, I understand that you didn't take the Alabama job because your wife, Rita, did not want to live in Alabama. And, of course, he said that is absolutely not the case. But as irony would have it now, all these years later, he's now living in Alabama. He's at an FCS program right down the road from the University of Alabama.
And the most interesting part of this story is that the person who kept him at West Virginia was Nick Saban's best friend growing up. And
Senator.
Joe Manchin was the governor at the time. And when it got out that that Rich Rodriguez was taking the job, Manchin called an emergency meeting. They paid him whatever he wanted, and Mal Moore ended up looking like a buffoon that he couldn't hire Rich Rodriguez. And I remember that day, Pat. It was one of the gloomy. I mean, there have been some bad days in Alabama football history before 2007, but the joke was Alabama couldn't find anyone in the country that wanted the job. And some of the names, and I'm struggling to remember who the backup choices were. I think Bobby Petrino may have been on the list. David Cutcliffe. I mean, we were talking about guys that I wish Petrino had gotten the job. That would have been fun. But it was just truly remarkable to think what a bad day that was, and how this guy went off on our show. And it turned out that had Rodriguez taken the job, there is no telling what would have happened at Alabama.
No, you're absolutely right. And the other interesting part of it, and one day when you and I finally sit down and our careers kind of slow up a little bit, maybe you and I can write that book about the things that really happened, because I'm not gonna disclose the names now, but it was really a lot of fun during that time frame after Rodriguez turned it down, because there were, at the time, sitting SEC football coaches that were calling you on your cell phone, expressing interest in the Alabama job, and I had former SEC coaches calling me in the other room asking me what was going on with the Alabama job, because those guys wanted to get their name involved with the potential search at Alabama. So you can read whatever you want to. I remember who those coaches were, and I know you know them too, who called you and called me. And I know that in the past, some guys have tried to deny their interest in those jobs, but there's no doubting who called us. And that was a better job than a lot of people thought it was. I think just like Nick Saban, they knew that it was a sleeping giant. And there were some pretty familiar names. Don't you agree, Paul?
I will not mention the name of one in particular, because he would deny it. And I don't want to embarrass the guy, at least not yet. but I mean, it was such a remarkable time. And I can't tell you how cool this has been. Somebody ought to write a book about all this. Pat Smith.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, no, there are a lot of rich stories, and I think the most important thing that I think you've mentioned here, Pat, among others, is how desperate the Alabama fan base was. And I know that is no longer the case, as you know, because you do a show every day. But this program, I don't think. Maybe with the probation in '95 or whenever it happened. I mean, that was a pretty dark moment. But I don't think I'm not sure there's ever been a darker day than that December day that Rich Rodriguez blew off Alabama, and they literally couldn't find a choice. And then at that point, everyone knows now they decided to wait for Saban and give him one more shot.
Yeah. And the other amazing thing about hiring Nick Saban is what did everybody tell us off the air from other places? Because we had some very close friends that worked with him at LSU. And they all said he won't stay at Alabama more than 5 years, 5 years tops. There's no way that Nick is there 7 years or 10 years. And here we are all these years later. He's still there and still knocking on the door of winning potentially another national championship. It's purely amazing.
Truly remarkable. And I can't thank you enough. This has been one of the more enjoyable 30 minutes we've had on this show in a long time. Pat Smith, many thanks. I will look forward to seeing you soon.
Absolutely. My best to Linda.
Same here to Leanne and everybody. Pat joining us from Birmingham, and we are going to take a break. We'll get your reaction to all of this right after the message.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
And welcome back. It's great to have all of you here and more of your phone calls right now. That was a great conversation there with Pat. Let's get to Jack in Decatur, Alabama. Hello, Jack.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I had originally called to ask about someone who was always one of my favorite callers was Mr. Bobby from Birmingham, and your call screener told me that that he had passed away maybe a few years ago.
He had.
But I sure hated to hear that. He was always one of those people that I could imagine sitting out on the porch talking with him, and you know, just the life experiences that he had had, the era that he grew up in Alabama, and being a being a United States Marine, which he was incredibly proud of, during the Vietnam era. And I'll never forget one of the calls. You made a comment, and you were joking.
Yeah.
I think you made some type of comment about he was in the Army.
I remember that.
And he went off. And he was so proud of being a Marine. And yeah. it was an insult to him.
It was, and
what he must have seen and gone through.
We ended up having a long conversation one time off the air, and what was really interesting, and he never said this on the air, but you know, being in Birmingham, you never know what you would have seen over the years, and he was very involved in the civil rights movement with Dr. King. I remember him telling me it was just fascinating to hear somebody go back to the '60s. And to describe what that city and many other cities, of course, were like during that era.
Well, I sure hate to hear that he passed, because he was always one of my favorite callers. But that reminds me, one thing I want to mention, a lot of the callers would do well with some of the older callers know, you know exactly what I'm talking about, the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is what you know, and that's great, and knowing a lot is a good thing. Wisdom comes when you realize you don't know it all.
That's great.
And there's a big difference.
I wish you.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Jack, we're going to play that over and over again when some people call in with knowledge. Yes. Elliot is up next in Ohio. Good afternoon, Elliot.
Paul, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I have to agree. I saw an article that you wrote there that you mentioned any other day. You said college football is headed off a cliff. And I agree with that, because I've sat in those seats crammed in. I'm not up in the box in the executive area. I don't know if a game doesn't matter if I'm going to do that. I'm going to watch it on TV. But my question is, why wasn't it headed off a cliff a year ago when the SEC was doing this? And now that the Big Ten's doing it, it's headed off a cliff.
Elliot, I think it was heading off a cliff then, too. I frankly think it's been heading off a cliff for some time. And the reason is, and this sounds funny coming from where I sit here in a television studio owned by ESPN, but I think television has taken over college sports. And when television networks take over that, then what's the most important thing? Is it your experience at the stadium, or your experience at home watching it?
But my other question to you is, were you talking to politicians a year ago when this was happening with the SEC? Why? I mean, I would be laying low. Why are you talking to politicians?
Well, Elliot, we've always talked to politicians here. During COVID, we probably talked to six or seven governors of various states, as well as a few senators. It's always something that we believed in. It's not partisan. Why we talked to a senator this week is very simple. He is on the verge of introducing legislation to make a national NIL bill. That's news. We just don't call random politicians to get the temperature.
Gotcha. Very good.
And by the way, you're in Ohio, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Whether you like him or not, we happen to have a wonderful conversation with your governor during COVID.
Oh, yeah. No, he was awesome during COVID. But I'm in the Ohio State University, not Ohio. So I realize every time I call, you love to say Ohio, but it's the Ohio State University.
Well, yeah. Now that you've gotten that trademarked, I guess I must comply, or otherwise I'll get a cease and desist.
Buckeye country, brother. Buckeye country.
Well, you know what? I happen to think the Buckeyes are a serious threat to win it all this year.
We're a quarterback factory. It's going to be crazy this year. I have hopes, but you know how it goes. You know, so. I wish for the best, but it's killing me because all the talent ends up in the SEC because of all those years of bias with the networks.
Yeah, well, we're gonna have to cut you off there. We can't tolerate that. If you're gonna have that attitude, we're gonna force you to call the Big Ten Network. Oh, I forgot they don't have a call-in show. We're done for two. Well, only for the second hour. We're not done yet. What do you say? You ready to go?
Sure.
Randy's ready. Why are you walking out of the studio?
It's happy hour.
With a beer in your hand. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.